And of sinners. Good. Okay, let's take our Bibles, and we're going to turn and look at one of the most interesting and evil women in all of history, Athaliah. And so we turn back to the book of 2 Chronicles, and we'll begin looking at chapter 22 and verse 10. So 2 Chronicles chapter 22 and verse 10. Now, we remember that the great King Jehoshaphat, as good as he was, he really wasn't too smart in certain areas. And one was, he compromised so many times. And one of the worst compromises he made was when he married his oldest son off to the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel to try to make a treaty or try to make peace with the northern tribes. And as a result, of course, Ahab and Jezebel, God already had his judgment upon them. And now Athaliah, the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel, has been playing havoc in Judah for now several years. In fact, now she has... after their marriage, they raised a son, and Ahaziah was the king. And he only lasted a year because Jehu came through and wiped out his father as well as Ahaziah. And so we see that God didn't put up with that. And then we saw also how that God was judging Israel, and how that if it wasn't the Egyptians, if it wasn't the Moabites, they just kept coming in and wiping out all the seed royal. And so there weren't a whole lot of people left anyway. But now we see Athaliah comes along, and now her son has died. And you got to be pretty cruel to do what she did. I mean, what grandmother do you know of that would do what Athaliah did? Notice what it says in verse 10. And when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the royal heirs of the house of Judah, all her kids and all her grandkids and all her half-grandkids and whoever else was around. So that pretty well wiped out everybody. After all the rest of the problems that they've had with the invasions and so forth, now there's no kid, there's nobody left except a six-month-old child. And it's interesting how that God... the way he works in things. Really, the kingdom and God's covenant to David and to Abraham is hanging by a shoestring. I mean, it's down to one heartbeat, a six-month-old kid. And sometimes, if you've ever been in life or you look at life and you think you're hanging on by a shoestring, and yet there's a God in heaven who, if you've got the shoestring, that's all you need. So many times in history, we've seen that God has done things that for one thing, we're going to see a priest named Jehoiada. And he happened to marry Ahaziah. For some reason, he fell in love with one of the children of Ahaziah, which means that even though she killed all the grandkids, she didn't get to one of them. It's amazing how that goes. We're not sure whether it was her direct son, or if it was another one of his concubines or wives that was left, the bloodline from David. But, so many times in history, and I love history, you just look back and you say, how could it have happened? How could, the nation was hanging on, a shoestring. I mean, or things, the old story of, the one of a nail, a shoe was lost, one of a shoe, a horse was lost, one of a horse, a rider was lost, one of a rider, a message was lost, one of a rider or of a message, a battle was lost, and it goes right on down to, as a result of the war lost, then the nation was lost, all for the one of a nail. Well, so many times in history, we see how that God either puts the nail in or he takes it out. It's interesting how that is. I don't know why, but on my Facebook page, I get all kinds of history stuff, and I haven't applied to anything on Facebook, but I'm especially about the Battle of Midway. I guess there was something, some movie or something recently on there. But I've studied, I've read about the Battle of Midway. I mean, I've read several books, movies, and all that of Midway. But it was a turning point, one of the major turning points in all history. 5 minutes, just 5 minutes, changed the whole world situation. After Pearl Harbor, there's just no reason why the Japanese hit when they did. I mean, if those, just in a few hours, if those aircraft carriers were in the Pearl Harbor, they would have been attacked and everything would have been wiped out. But for some reason, they were delayed and they didn't get to Pearl Harbor, so they weren't part of the sinking of all the ships. So we still had aircraft carriers. And then all the things that worked out and just the little plane that got lost, that the Japanese were looking for the American. Whoever found each other first was going to have a major advantage. And the Japanese plane that was going to go right over where the American aircraft carriers were, and this would be several months later at Battle of Midway, they missed them. And they outnumbered the American aircraft carriers 2-1. So, I mean the major force was with the Japanese. And yet God allowed that little airplane not to find the American aircraft carriers. And as a result, we spotted them first. And then there's a long history, a long sequence there. But right when all the Japanese airplanes were refueling is when our dive bombers hit them and wiped out four carriers. I mean, folks, when you wipe out four carriers, if four of our carriers today, even though we got 12, that would be a major, that's 20,000 people right there, you know. But it changed the whole course. Japan never won another major battle. I mean, they were put on defense afterwards. But it all happened over a sequence of just a few little things, little shoestrings that changed history totally. And, you know, God has shed his grace upon us. I love to study George Washington. I love the part where, I mean, the whole sequence of him having to escape after losing his first battle with the English on Long Island. And then how he got off the island. And, you know, well, just all kinds of things happened there. But when he saw a small contingent of British people coming toward him, British soldiers coming toward him, he turned around and he told his guys, okay, guys, we can flip these people anyway. So he charged and he went forward. And guess what? Everybody else stayed behind. They were still scared of the British. And he got in the middle of all those British and somehow he got out of it. Now, don't tell me. I mean, George Washington was the one. If that hadn't been for him, we would not be here today. I mean, just there's all kinds of things that happen. But how that God uses men or uses those little shoestrings. Why did that happen? You know, why did God allow those circumstances to work out the way they did? And here we see the same thing. Athaliah now has killed, I mean, she has, as far as she knew, she had killed all the seed royal of Israel. And Satan was rejoicing and thinking, oh my, got everybody. Of course, he knew there might be one left. But after all, what's a six-month-old kid going to do? And so here, Athaliah and the forces of hell are now ready to take over the temple. They're able to, now they're going to establish the state religion as the same as with Baal worship as they did in the northern kingdom. Now, the one problem she had was that you still had very strong people, the priesthood. The priesthood was not, they weren't able to get rid of it like they were in northern Israel. So you still had the high priest Jehoiada, who's an old man now, and he must have married a pretty young girl for him to have married Ahaziah's sister. And so we see that for some reason they fell in love. For some reason they got together. Whatever relationship that was, it was made by God. Because we see that after she killed, notice it says now in verse 10, now when the mother saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the royal heirs of the house of Judah. Jehoshabeth, the daughter of the king, took Joash. Now, we find out later on that she's also the wife of Jehoiada the priest. But took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him away from among the king's sons who were being murdered. And she put him and his nurse in a bedroom. So Jehoshabeth, the daughter of King Jehoram, the wife of Jehoiada the priest. There she is, the wife of the priest, for she was the sister of Ahaziah. There's all of her connections. Hid him from Athaliah so that she did not kill him. And he was hidden with them in the house of God for 6 years while Athaliah reigned over the land. Now, the one thing that you see in this passage is that even though Judah had a king, you see that it was pretty much a republic. We would call it a consent of the governed. Every time you see a king or kings, you see that they had to have David especially and Solomon and then Rehoboam. I mean, they had to have the consent of the people to crown them kings. And we'll see this also here. So we see that now he was hidden. And now you can imagine what the people were thought. How would you like to think, my king is dead. The line of David is dead. And now we've got this witch up here controlling us. How would you like to live under that for 6 years? That'd be pretty bad, wouldn't it? I mean, the hopelessness and the helplessness of the people. And then after all those wars over the last 20 years and all, everybody else has been wiped out. And I mean, Judah was at a very low point. And yet, yes, they were just hanging on by a shoestring. I remember my last ministry, I went in and we were dealing with some real problems there. And I had one of the main people say, "Pastor, we're hanging on by our toenails." And God turned it around, but boy, we had to have some pretty long toenails. I mean, it took a while. But it's amazing how that just, those shoestrings, how that God just kept tying them. And so here we see that a lot of times you feel like, you know, God's led me here or God's doing this in my life, but where is he? And I'm hanging on, Lord. And folks, that's the best thing you do. If God gives you a shoestring, it's a lifeline. And so we see now that in the seventh year of Jehoiada, he strengthened himself. That's the high priest. And he made a covenant with the captains. Now, notice what he's doing. He's still a power center. Even though she is the queen, she doesn't have the control of the people. That still goes through the priests and the prophets. And that's the reason the prophets warred so much, because they were false prophets and true prophets. Remember Elijah and others, they had to fight the bad prophets. But here you have the priesthood, which was also very strong in Judah. And we see that Azariah, the son of Jehoram, Ishmael, the son of, names all these men. It says in verse 2, "And they went throughout Judah and gathered the Levites from all the cities of Judah and the chief fathers of Israel, and they came to Jerusalem." So notice now they're gathering their political party together. They're pulling all the faithful. And, of course, the institution of the Levites and of the priesthood was extremely strong still, even though the temple had been hurt and so forth, and had all kinds of things had been put in it. Then all the assembly made a covenant with the king. Now, this must have been, how do you keep something like this quiet? But, of course, we'll see that Jezebel didn't know anything was going on. Either she was very aloof or whatever, but this thing was very quiet. It says, "Then all the assembly made a covenant with the king in the house of God, and they said to them, 'Behold, the king's son shall reign, as the Lord has said of the sons of David. This is what we shall do.'" And then they say, "Well, a third of us are going to be entering on the Sabbath. The priests and the Levites, which was normal processions, shall be keeping watch over the doors, one third of the king's house and one third of the king's foundation." And this was a rotating group of people, but they said, instead of going home, we'll just guard the doors. And so they didn't go home after they rotated off their shifts. And so we see, "And all the people shall be in the courts of the house of the Lord, but let no one come into the house of the Lord except the priests and those of the Levites who serve. They may go in, for they are holy, but all the people shall keep the watch of the Lord. And the Levites shall surround the king on all sides, every man with his weapons in their hands. And whosoever comes into the house, let him be put to death. And you are to be with the king when he comes in and when he goes out. So here you got your personal bodyguards. You got your different armed guards. And so they are preparing for a coup against Athaliah. So the Levites and all Judah did according to all that Jehoiada the priest had commanded, and each man took his men who were to be on duty on the Sabbath with those who were going off duty on the Sabbath. So there's that round robin type thing. For Jehoiada the priest had not dismissed the division. So, hey, listen, stay around because I'm going to need all of you. And so they didn't go home. And Jehoiada the priest gave the captains of hundreds of spears and large and small shields, which belonged to the king, to King David. Do you think there's a little bit of tradition there? They still got all the things from a couple hundred years ago with King David. And so, I mean, the tradition of the people was still there, even though they had a foreign queen over them. They didn't know how to overcome it, but God gave them a way out. And so they belonged to King David and were in the temple of God. Then he set all the people, every man his weapon in his hand, for the right side of the temple to the left side, and so they were surrounded. And verse 11, and they brought out the king's son and put the crown on his head, and gave him the testimony. What do you think? That's a capital T. What do you think they gave him? Something that Moses commanded that every king have. What was it? The law under his throne. So there was a little shelf under that seat that the law was supposed to be there, and it was supposed to be read to the king yearly. And so they had it, the testimony, and they made him king. Then Jehoiada and his sons anointed him, and they said, long live the king. Now, notice how this is a constitutional monarchy, which, in other words, the people knew there was right and wrong, and they could overthrow the king, and we see this later on, where they do overthrow kings, and then some of them are murdered or whatever, but we know that Rehoboam was overthrown. You know, so that's, and it was by the consent of the governor. So we see in verse 12, and when Athaliah heard the noise of the people running and praising the king, she came to the people in the temple. Boy, that was a real surprise to her, of the Lord. And when she looked, there was the king standing by his pillar of entrance. Now, you can imagine that. You got all these people around with all the pageantry. Now, they were waiting for this for 7 years. And you have a little 7-year-old kid sitting up there on the throne. That must have been something that was really startling to her. I mean, it would be to me, walking in, where's the king? And you see this little boy down there, you know, with a big old crown on his head. I wonder if it kind of slipped off or whatever, that they had to hold it on his head or whatever. But he was the bloodline. And so we see, and all the people of the land were rejoicing and blowing trumpets and singers with musical instruments, and they who led the praise. So Athaliah tore her clothes and yelled something very crazy. Treason. Yeah, well, usually when people are yelling treason these days, it's the people committing treason. And so here we have a woman who should not have been where she was, and yet now she's saying that she's being overthrown by treason. No, she was never to be there in the first place. And so and we see in Jehoiada, the priest brought all the captains of the hundreds and set over the army and said, take her outside under guard and slay her with the sword, whosoever follows her. For the priest said, don't kill this Phoenician woman. And that was her Phoenician blood that was in her from Jezebel. And don't kill her in the temple. It's kind of interesting. Don't kill her here in the church. Take her outside and kill her. places matter. So the priest had said, do not kill her in the house of the Lord. So they seized her, and she went by she went by the way of the entrance of the horse gate into the king's house, and they killed her there. And so she was running for her life, and they killed her. Now, isn't that sad? It's sad in the sense that, you know, her mother just died 7 years before, her mother and father, and now she's dead, and all and everybody around those two, all around those two families, were destroyed. I mean, they were evil people, but look at the destruction that happened to them as a result. Ahab and Jezebel and everybody around them and all the seed royal up there. Jehu took care of all them, didn't he? Then he took care of the sons and even took care of Ahaziah, killed him. Now we see that Athaliah is killed. After she has killed a lot of people, a lot of bloodletting. Folks, whenever we get away from the Lord, things get vicious. And that's what I'm afraid of this country today, is we're seeing viciousness like in politics like we've never seen before. Hatreds that probably the only time we've ever seen it in our history was in the 1850s before the Civil War. It's scary to see that you can't talk to a person of a different political persuasion without people getting very angry. And folks, that's one thing about us. Keep your cool if you're going to talk politics. If you can't talk politics, if you can't keep cool, then don't talk. Right? It's not, I mean, there are certain things you have to stand up for, and we will when the time comes if we have to, and we'll get shot at, but God give us wisdom not to play their game or to lose, and for us to be the vengeful or to be the hatred or the spewer of hatreds. You know, we have to be very careful with that. And so, but here we see that in verse 16, then Jehoiada made a covenant with himself and the people and the king. So really, he's the Lord protector now, kind of like Cromwell was back in the England time. But he was the people. He was really the king until the king got old enough to be the king. So really, he was taking care of the king's business. And so we see that and all the people went to the temple of Baal and tore it down. And they broke it in pieces, its altars and images, and killed Matan, the priest of Baal, before the altars. Now, notice that in northern Israel, Jeroboam didn't have that problem because the temple wasn't there. And so he just kicked the priests out and because their temple wasn't there, and he just hired him new priests. Well, you couldn't do that in Judah because the temple was there with all the orders and so forth. And so Athaliah had to build her own temple outside of the temple. Now, later on, we see as Judah keeps going downhill, we'll see that those images were part of the temple. You'll see that in the book of Ezekiel and others where he just cries because of what he sees in the temple itself. But here right now, there were several things that I'm sure that Athaliah was able to establish in the temple, but she was not able to take it over. And so they were able to destroy what she had done. And it really, because of that temple, that's one reason they probably kept the secrecy so well, because people still refused to worship Baal, and they went to the temple. Whereas in northern Israel, they never did that. They never had the temple. So a big difference there. And so we see Jehoiada appointed the oversight of the house of the Lord to the hand of the priests, the Levites, whom David had assigned to that. Notice he's getting back to, let's make sure we get back into the sequence of things and the orders of the priests that David had set up and so forth, to offer the burnt offerings of the Lord as it is written in the law of Moses. So let's get back to the Bible, make sure that we got everything back straight. And there was rejoicing with singing, as was established by David. So, they're getting back to the old-timey worship. They hadn't done that in at least 7 years. And so they were hungry. And he set the gatekeepers of the gates of the house of the Lord so that no one who was in the way unclean should enter. So they set up those standards again about the ceremonial washing and making sure that you were clean before you went into the temple and all that. Then he took the captains of the hundreds of nobles, the governors, the people, and all the people of the land, and brought the king down from the house of the Lord. And they went through the upper gate to the king's house, and set the king on the throne of the kingdom. Now, notice the people did that. There again, constitutional monarchy. This was a people's movement. It wasn't a king coming in on a white horse and saying, I am master over you. No, the Israeli kings, or the Jewish kings anyway, for all intents and purposes, were set up like a constitutional monarchy. And the people had a great deal to do with the approval or not. Now, we know later on that even though Josiah comes along and tries to reform the people, and the people didn't want to be reformed. He took care of all the idols and everything, but the people went right back to him because the people were so infected by false gods. But at this time, Judah is still on par, and you see the people, they're a sizable group of the people, still wanted the God of heaven to be their king, to be their God. So all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was quiet, for they had slain Athaliah with the sword. Oh my, that's a great ending to that. Although it's so sad to see that that they had to kill someone. But unfortunately, what we see now in Israel is what we see in the book of Judges, where the people start off on the shoestring, God delivers them, then they prosper, then they fall into sin, and then God judges them by bringing in outside forces. Then they're on a shoestring again. God raises up a judge, a deliverer, and then they go through the sequence over and over again. This is almost the same way with the kings. Because Joash now, as he becomes the king at 7 years old, and he becomes a very good king, and he is going to institute all kinds of reforms. But like so many people, like you and I know, God, they get prospered, and then they don't have time for God anymore. You know people like that? A lot of them. And Joash is going to follow the same thing. It's round robin. It seems like every king that comes after this, almost all of them, do the same thing. Where they, God deliver me, please God, I'll serve you. Then God delivers them. And then they go right back into the old ways. And folks, that's the one thing I don't want to do. I mean, I've said many times, and one thing that I want to finish strong. As a Christian, I don't want people to say, oh, he used to be a Christian, or he used to go to church, or whatever. No, I want them to say, no, he was going strong at the end. Because we're serving a living and true God. And I don't want to be on a shoestring. I want to be right up there with God. And now at times I feel like I'm hanging on. Anybody been there? If you haven't, you will be one sooner or later. And yet you've got, but you realize that that string is not a string, but it's a cord. And it's a cable to God of heaven. And if he's holding the other end, folks, then you're going to make it through. And God promised that he would never leave us or forsake us. God promised that the king, David's reign would last forever. And it has. And it will. And one day I'm going to be up there with the king, and I'll see David the king, and I'll see my Lord Jesus, the son of David, as the king. And there will be no more interruptions. And there, praise the Lord, there will be no more shoestrings as we serve the Lord. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that even in the history where we see how that it looks like just the end of everything is going to happen and that your promises are overwhelmed by evil, yet we see, Lord, in the end, that you do all things, that all things are done, that are all things work together for good to them that are called according to your purpose. Lord, we do thank you for those times of trial, those times when we don't know what's going to happen next, those times when we're just hanging on for dear life. Those aren't pleasant times, but those are the times we can remember. And as Lord, as we remember what you've done in the past, may we remember what you can do for us in the future. Bless your people now, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.